Ezekiel chapter 34, let's read the word of God. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, prophesy against the shepherds of Israel. Prophesy and say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God unto the shepherds, Woe be to the shepherds of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe you with the wool. Ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock. The diseased have ye not strengthened, neither have ye healed that which was sick, neither have ye bound up that which was broken, neither have ye brought again that which was driven away, neither have ye sought that which was lost. But with force and with cruelty have ye ruled them. And they were scattered because there is no shepherd. And they became meat to all the beasts of the field when they were scattered. My sheep wandered through all the mountains, and upon every high hill, yea, my flock was scattered upon the face of the earth, and none did search or seek after them. Therefore, ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. As I live, saith the Lord God, surely because my flock became a prey, and my flock became a meat to every beast of the field, because there was no shepherd, neither did my shepherd search for my flock, but the shepherds fed themselves and fed not the flock. Therefore, O ye shepherds, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hand, and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves any more, for I will deliver my flock from their mouth, that they may not be meat for them. Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will both search my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeketh out his flock in the day that he is among his sheep that are scattered, so will I seek out my sheep and will deliver them out of all places where they have been scattered in the cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the people and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land and feed them upon the mountains of Israel by the rivers, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in a good pasture, and upon the high mountains of Israel shall their fold be. There shall they lie in a good fold, and in a fat pasture shall they feed upon the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock. I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will seek that which was lost, and bring again that which was driven away, and will bind up that which was broken, and will strengthen that which was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong. I will feed them with judgment. As for you, O my flock, thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I judge between cattle and cattle, and between the rams and the he-goats. Seemeth it a small thing unto you to have eaten up the good pasture? But you must tread down with your feet the residue of your pastures, and to have drunk of the deep waters, but you must foul the residue with your feet. And as for my flock, they eat that which ye have trodden with your feet, and they drink that which ye have fouled with your feet. Verse number 23. And I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. Even my servant David, he shall feed them, and he shall be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David a prince among them. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall be showers of blessing. Amen. With God's word having been read, let's unite our hearts together and seek the face of the Lord. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come before thy presence once again today, we give thee thanks and praise for the privilege that we have to publicly read the word of God. And we acknowledge, O Lord, that this is thy word. This is thy truth. We thank thee, Lord, although thou didst use the instrument of man to write the word, we thank thee, Lord, the word was given by the Spirit of God. And therefore, Lord, we read the very words of the Lord himself. Lord, we literally speak the words of God when we read the scriptures, and that ought to cause us to stand in awe and to listen carefully. Because when God speaks, man must listen. We pray, O Lord, this morning that thou would not only open our ears, but open our hearts and open our minds and our understanding, that we might know what the Lord would say to us today. Lord, we're living in a land that is spiritually bankrupt. We're living in a place where there's very little honor for the things of God. Seems to be that sin is abounding on every hand. It seems to be that the wicked are having their way. But Lord, we thank thee that even in circumstances like this, there's still a word in season for God's people. And we can look to the throne and know that the Lord is still there. We can look, Lord, and know that thou art the sovereign, omnipotent, one who has ordered all things to be. And therefore, Lord, our hearts are rejoicing today. Because, Lord, thou hast it all in control. And Lord, thy will is being wrought. And we thank thee among thy people. Thou art able to give that which will strengthen us and help us to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand. Lord, if we dare to stand in our own strength, our own wisdom will fail. But we ask you, Lord, that the word of God will be our strength today and be our portion today and help us to stand for Christ today. Help us to know thy will. Help us to know thy desires for thy people. And, O Lord, I pray that thou wilt help us to conform to thine own dear image. We pray, Lord, that you'll help us today to understand the word, to heed the word, to receive the word, to keep the word, and to obey the word. And I ask, O Lord, that thou wilt empty me of self and sin and give me the help of the Spirit of God to proclaim the word. And Lord, thou knowest the need of each heart today. Meet us at the point of our need, we pray. Encourage us, Lord, we ask, and send the showers of blessing that have been promised here in thy word. Because, Lord, this is thy word. And we thank thee, Lord, nothing can withhold it. Lord, send thy power, we pray. In Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Now, over the past 8 messages that I have preached in the morning services, we've been considering the desires that the Lord has for his church through the letters written to the 7 churches in Revelation chapter 2 and chapter 3. And when we join them all together, we see a very detailed picture of what a church should strive to be. The desires of the Lord ought to be the characteristics of the godly. And what God has desired ought to be seen in our lives. There were 7 churches, and I would urge you over the next week as God's people to take one each day, read over it, and pray that the Lord would make this church the picture of what the Lord desires a church to be, the fulfillment of what God desires a church to be, and in our own lives, that those characteristics will be seen personally in us. Each church is told in the book of Revelation of the blessing of obedience. And when they follow God's plan, then God's blessing comes upon that people. We're not to measure ourselves by other people, by other standards, by other churches, but we're to come to the word of God and to measure ourselves by the word. As I was thinking about the responsibility placed upon the churches to be pure and holy and faithful, then I believe that there ought to be prayer made in a very great manner for those in authority in the church, for those who have been called into leadership in this congregation. They need the prayers of God's people because they're men. That's all. And they need God's power to be upon them for good. We were looking at this truth for a few moments on Thursday night in the Bible study. God has called people to oversee the work in this congregation. And the ministers and elders of this work need the prayers of God's people for faithfulness, and for humility, and for boldness, and for wisdom, and for guidance. It's very easy sometimes when you're put in a position of responsibility to get carried away. But we need the prayers of God's people that he would keep us faithful and humble at the cross and usable in his work. In Ezekiel chapter 34, we read of a people who were placed over the children of God. And the Lord is angry with them because they have not been faithful shepherds or pastors or leaders. In fact, they were unfaithful and they were sinful. And it says there in verse number 3, "Ye eat the fat, and ye clothe ye with wool, and ye kill them that are fed, but ye feed not the flock." And here was the word of God coming to these people, prophesied through the mouth of Ezekiel, but from the very lips of the Lord. And he says, ye do not feed the flock. And this was something that brought great anger from heaven itself. The Lord said, this was their charge. You were not feeding the flock. They were given a position of responsibility. The people were to look up to them. The people were to hearken to them. The people were to be assured of their prayers and of their care through life. And yet when the Lord looked down at the work they were doing, the reality was they weren't feeding the flock. Now what is that speaking to us about? Well, the feeding of the flock is done through the giving of the word of God. That is what men and women, boys and girls who are saved are to feed upon. In fact, that is the only thing that is to be presented before the people of God. They were to give that which they had that would be a benefit to the people. And the only thing that we have, the only thing that any preacher or elder has that is of benefit to another Christian is the word of God. Is the word of God. And we need to hold it, and it's through that we feed. And why do we preach so much in this congregation? Why are there discipleship classes? Why are there teaching meetings? Why are there missions? Why are there morning services, evening services, Bible studies, Bible classes, Sunday school? Why? What is the purpose? What is the point? That the people might be fed. And that's the purpose of the house of God and the purpose of the leaders of the work of God, to feed the people. Now, in feeding the people, then certain things are done that were not done in the people of Israel at that time. Verse number 4, it says, the diseased ye have not strengthened, neither have you healed that which was sick, neither have you bound up that which was broken, neither have you brought again that which was driven away, neither have you sought that which was lost. And the thought here is this: if you are feeding the people, if you are feeding the flock, then these things will be true. You will strengthen them. You will heal them. You will bind up that which was broken. You will bring again that which was driven away, restoring. You will seek that which was lost. That's why we preach the word, because those five things, those things that are just simply summed up in the grace of God, can be done through the preaching and the proclamation of the word of God. And that's what a biblical ministry ought to do: to strengthen, to heal, to bind up the broken, to bring again that which was driven away, and to seek that which is lost. This is what the word of God is to do, as it is heralded forth day after day from the pulpit of our congregation. The people whom God has called to be in a fellowship can only be strengthened and encouraged through the word of God. We are not to rule with cruelty, as it says there at the end of verse number 4, with force and with cruelty you've ruled them. We're not to rule with cruelty. No man is ever justified in a position of office in cruelty. But we are to seek out what we can do to encourage and to edify and to build up and to equip and to disciple. And this is only done through the preaching of the word of God. And verse number 5 says, they were scattered because there is no shepherd. Now, there were people there, and they called themselves the shepherds of Israel. They called themselves the rulers and the teachers. And the reality was, it was just as if there wasn't anybody teaching the truth at all. And the Lord says, there is no shepherd, none who can be followed, none who can be heeded, none who will be of any benefit spiritually to the people. And you know, just because a person claims to be a minister doesn't mean he's God's minister or God's shepherd or God's pastor, because there are things that must be true of a man whom God calls to preach. We can think of different preachers in the word of God. We think of Noah, and we find that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. In other words, Noah was saved. God looked upon him with grace and favor. And that's the very first and foundational thing that must be true of any preacher or any elder. It must be that they are saved by the grace of God. They're in a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is not good enough for a man, when he's asked, are you sure of heaven, to say, I hope so. But he must say, I know so, because of the book and because of the blood. That's what a minister ought to be. Someone who stands with full assurance that they are saved by God's grace and by that grace alone. That's Noah. He was a preacher of righteousness. And then we come to Solomon. And Solomon, of course, was a preacher of wisdom. And that's something else that we need. And the Word of God makes it very clear that human wisdom and fleshly wisdom and wisdom simply that is of this world will not suffice for a preacher or for an elder. It will not do. They need a higher wisdom. They need a higher thought. They need higher instruction. My thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. O Lord, we need your thoughts. Therefore, we must ask the Lord for the wisdom that's necessary. And of course, it says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. In Ecclesiastes 12:9, it says, moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people knowledge. The preacher sought to find out acceptable words, and that which was written was upright, even the word of truth. The preacher was wise, and what was he doing? He was preaching the word of God. And just two verses after that, here's the preaching. Here's the summary of his message. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God, keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. So Noah reminds us that the preacher needs to be saved. Solomon reminds us that the preacher needs wisdom, and we have wisdom here in this book. And then Paul reminds us that the preacher must preach Christ. And that is wisdom. That is, if you're saved, you'll always preach Christ. But that's what the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 1, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. We preach Christ crucified. We preach Christ. And that is what the preacher of the Word of God is to do, because it says, unto them which are called, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. And therefore, if you're looking to follow the preaching of someone who will lead you to the Lord, it must be someone who's saved, someone who uses the wisdom of God, and someone who preaches Christ. Failure to do any of these three things means that you can't be a preacher of the gospel. You know, Noah and Solomon and Paul all lived in different eras. And yet they all preached the same thing. They all preached about preparation. Noah preached to the preparation that the people needed to have for the judgment of God that was coming. They needed to get into the ark. And then Solomon preached to preparation, because he said, God shall bring every work into judgment, and therefore there was preparation made, or needed to be made to meet God. And Paul, of course, preached the preparation, repent, be converted, turn from your sin. He preached the gospel to Jew, and then, of course, to the Gentile. He went far and near in that known world of those days to preach, prepare to meet the Lord. They preached of their realities of life. They preached of judgment against sin. They preached of salvation. They preached of living a life of faith by the grace of God. And that is those are the main themes of the Word of God still today. We preach preparation of heart. We preach the realities of life. There's coming a day we shall die and stand before God. We preach of judgment against sin. We preach of God's wonderful salvation. We preach of living a life of faith by the grace of God. And yet look at the state of the people that day. They were wandering about as sheep without a shepherd. They had no purpose. They had no direction. They had no safety. They had no feeding. They were starving for want of food. And this land today is starving spiritually for want of spiritual food. Many are lost. They wander about unaware of their lostness, unaware of the danger that they're in, unaware of the need of the salvation of their precious souls. And sadly, the reason is because of the lack of the preaching of the Word of God. Because when God's word is preached, then God moves among his people. And sadly, whenever we look at the television, we look at times, maybe the Christmas messages that come across and the Easter messages come across, whenever men stand before the politicians and the high up people of society in our country, and they stand before them and they open the Bible and they bring one or two verses out of it, but nothing to do with the gospel and nothing nothing that is applied appropriately and within its context. You know, often we hear the phrase, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself, and that really has been brought down to be the gospel today. If you want to be a Christian, this is what you need to do, love your neighbour as yourself. That is a very false gospel, but that's the gospel that's being preached really today. But you know, whenever you look at the context of that statement, you'll find that that was the second of the two great commands. Because the first one was, whenever the scribe asked, Lord, which is the first commandment of all? Jesus answered and said, the first one is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. And then the second is like it, thou shalt love thy neighbour as thyself. And the reality is, you can't fulfill the second commandment without fulfilling the first. If you don't love the Lord with all your heart and with all your mind and with all your strength, well then you cannot love your neighbour as yourself. You cannot love sacrificially. You cannot fulfill the second commandment there. And sadly, that's all it said, love your neighbour as yourself. That little phrase picked out and set out as a standard. And they forget about the first one, the most important one. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. And folks, that's what needs to be preached again in our land. Thou shalt love the Lord, thy God, with all thy heart. This is the command of God. The Lord commands every created being in this world to love him with all their heart. In all their words, to flee to him, to run to him for mercy, for salvation, for cleansing from their sin, to love the things he loves, to hate the things that he hates. Sadly today, it just seems enough to be a nice person, and you're a Christian. Let's get back to what the Bible says. The Bible says you are to love the Lord. You need to be saved. Whenever Queen Victoria was asked by an African diplomat a question the prince from Africa had sent the whole way across to England, he said, what is the secret of England's greatness? She didn't go to the vaults or to the treasure houses. She gave him a copy of the Word of God. During her reign, she made it a principle in the British Empire to send Bibles in the very language of the people to countries in Africa. And from the very palace in London, those Bibles were sent because she believed that that's what man and woman needed, to be set free and to be right before God. Today the Bible is laughed at, and today the Bible is scoffed at. And here's what the Word of God says to the men who are conducting a ministry or fulfilling a role, and they're not feeding the people from the Word of God. Verse number 10 says, I am against the shepherds, and I will require my flock at their hands and cause them to cease from feeding the flock. Neither shall the shepherds feed themselves anymore, for I will deliver my flock. While the picture here is very bleak and very dark, and it seems to be that there's no possibility for revival to be able to come, I thank the Lord that no matter how dark the day may be, no matter how dark the experience you're going through, there's always a promise from God. There's always a promise of light. There's always a promise of power. There is always a promise for the sufficient need to be met. And what was it in this day, in this generation, when the people were wandering about without any spiritual nourishment? Here is what the Lord said. He comes down in verse number 26. He says, I will make them and the places around about my hill a blessing, and I will cause the shower to come down in his season, and there shall be showers of blessing. And the Lord makes a promise that even though there are wicked men preaching heresy, God is able to move, and God is able to save his people, and God is able to cause the blessing to come in spite of the wickedness of the ungodly. And I thank the Lord for that, because as we look at our land today, it seems to be that there's a turning away from the things of God. Even those who are saved don't really desire holiness. They don't desire to be different. They want to be as like the world as possible, as like what they were before they were saved as possible. And it seems to be in many ways that the battle's getting a little harder and the day is getting a little darker. But thank God, the blessings and the promises of God are still the same today. And God's promise is still true today, because there will be showers of blessing. This is a promise that we can claim. And I believe there's three things that we need to know about the showers of blessing if we're ever to experience in a very full measure their outpouring upon us. The first thing is the source of the blessing. The source of the blessing. Christian, this morning, I know you desire blessing, but where are you seeking blessing? Are you seeking blessing in activities? Are you seeking blessing even in service? Are you seeking blessing because of what you do? There's only one source of blessing, and it is in Christ and in Him alone. Now, the Lord does bless us in our activities. The Lord does bless us in our service. But remember to look to the Lord for your blessing. There are Christians today, and they're trying to find blessing and contentment and fulfillment. But they're looking anywhere but Christ. And here is what the Word of God says. The Lord will cause the blessing to fall. Now, who is this Lord? How does He identify Himself in the Scripture? Well, in verse 23, He sets Himself up as a shepherd. I will set up one shepherd over them, and he shall feed them. While the people are seen as a flock, the one who's faithful, the leader, is seen as a shepherd. And that's an image that is portrayed throughout Scripture. The Lord Jesus Christ is a good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. We can say with the psalmist, the Lord is my shepherd, therefore I shall not want. And what is that saying? It means literally there's nothing, nothing that I need, but my God can provide it. Everything I need, He will meet me at the very point of it. Every need I have. Sometimes we flee to friends for need, or flee to resources or finances for the needs that we have. Instead of going to the Lord, He has promised, child of God, to meet your need. What is your need today? Bring your need to the throne of grace. Leave it before the Lord, and He will meet you at the point of your need. Secondly, in verse number 24, He presents Himself as a prince. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David, a prince among them. And while they're reminded of David as a shepherd, it presents the Lord as the chief shepherd. While they're reminded of David as a prince among princes, as one of the most successful kings Israel has ever seen, they present the greater David, the one who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And you see, not only will He come, our God, as a shepherd and feed us and lead us and protect us and guard us and bring us through danger and keep us safe along life's journey right until we stand in heaven's golden streets, but He will rule. He will rule among His people. Sometimes that aspect of the gospel is forgotten about. Hallelujah, Jesus is my Savior. But don't just stop there. Remember, Jesus is also your Lord. He's your Lord. He's your Master. He's the one who will rule your heart and your life. And your responsibility as a child of God is to say, Lord, here I am. What wilt Thou have me to do? Some people just want to be saved and live in their own terms. But true salvation, it's when the soul is cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a soul is surrendered to the will of the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you walking with the Lord today? Are you where He wants you to be? Are you doing what He desires you to do? You see, here is the Prince of Heaven, the King of all the ages. And as a child of God, we are subject to him. And hymn writer said, there is no peace, and there's no joy, and there's no thrill like walking in his will. The devil will say, you give your all to the Lord, you surrender to God. He'll ask you to go where you don't want to go. He'll ask you to be with whom you don't want to be. He'll ask you to do what you would never want to do. No, that's nonsense. The Lord will make his people willing in the day of his grace. And the Lord will give you desires in your heart, and the Lord will cause you to fulfill those desires by his power, and you'll get to the end of your life and you'll say, I thank him for every step of the journey. Because when you follow Jesus, you never lose out. And then he's also presented as a sacrifice. In verse number 25, it says, I will make with them a covenant of peace. I will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. And he says he will make with his people a covenant of peace. Whenever we come to the word covenant, you know in scripture, in the Hebrew, the word literally means cutting a covenant. It means shedding blood to make a promise. And every time you read of a covenant in scripture, it is based upon the covenant of grace. It's speaking in relation to the Lord owning his people. And the way the Lord owns his people and purchases his people is through the covenant that was made to save them from their sin. And it's that and that alone that is necessary to bring you into relationship with God this morning. If you're not saved, it is that work that Christ has done as a sacrifice, as a Savior, to redeem your soul. Look what he says in verse number 24. I, the Lord, will be their God. Who? The Lord will be the God of those who are his flock, to those who are his servants as the Prince, and to those who are his saved as the Savior. In other words, those who are born again of the Spirit of God, those who are cleansed in the precious blood, the Lord and the Lord alone will be their God. Matthew Henry said of this verse, those and only those that have the Lord Jesus for their Prince have the Lord Jehovah for their God. These people need it fed, they need it cared for, they need it saved. Who was promised? The Savior. What does this world need today? What do people need today? In a generation, whenever there are financial difficulties and relationship difficulties and employment difficulties and social difficulties and great wickedness, spiritually speaking, what does this world need today? It needs Jesus. It needs the Lord preached in all his fullness. Because when God's people are walking after the Lord, that's exactly what they will do. They will seek to promote Christ and present him and him alone. And then secondly, notice the recipients of the blessing. The recipients of the blessing. Who are the people who are being blessed? It is the flock. Now the Lord said, my sheep hear my voice and I know them. And in this passage of God's word, it says, I will make them, verse 26, and the place around about my hill a blessing. And there is a hill that the Lord has claimed, and it's the hill of Zion. And in that place, it's speaking about where the temple of God was in Jerusalem. And what is the imagery here? The imagery here is this, that around the temple of God, there was going to be celebration, and there was going to be blessing, and there was going to be freedom of worship, and there was going to be a place where God was praised. Thank the Lord, whenever the Lord Jesus Christ came, he presented himself as the temple of God. Because it's in Christ that there's freedom to worship, and in Christ there's blessing, and in Christ there's a place to come and give our praise and our glory and our adoration to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords. And those people who came to that place to worship were God's people. And those who come through Christ and those who come to Christ to worship God and claim forgiveness in the blood of the Savior, then they are the elect of God, those who receive the blessings of God. Now, of course, there are blessings that fall on the saved and the unsaved. We have health, we have soundness of body and mind. Some saved, some not saved. We have food, we have families, we have shelter. But here it's talking about the blessing. The blessings which are spiritual and for the people of God alone. You know, the Lord says, "Blessed is the man whom thou choosest and who causest to approach unto thee that he may dwell in thy courts." And then it says in Ephesians 1, 3 and 4, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." The reason you're blessed, child of God, today, blessed spiritually, blessed with the peace of God, blessed with the salvation of God, blessed with the power of God, the reason you're blessed today is because way back before this world was created, God set his love upon you, and because of that, then every other blessing flows from it. And those who receive the blessing, we read here, will become a blessing to those around them. Verse 26, "I will make them and the place around a blessing." I think this is one of the most beautiful truths of God's word. Whenever you're walking with the Lord, not only are you blessed, child of God, and richly blessed beyond all measure, but you become a blessing to those around you. There are people, and I have to say, I love spending time in their presence because they walk with the Lord and they're a blessing to my heart. And it's wonderful to have people like that in your life. And if you are walking with God, then, child of God, you will be a blessing. Remember Joseph? Joseph's walk caused others to be blessed. It tells us in Genesis 29 that it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. You can be not only blessed, but you can be a blessing. Have you ever prayed, "Lord, make me a blessing to someone today? Lord, make me a blessing. May my life shine. May my life lift another brother or sister who's weary. Encourage them along the road. Encourage them along the journey." We can think of Naaman, because he was blessed by the faithfulness of Elisha. I was thinking about this just this morning, and whenever Naaman came, he expected Elisha to come out and to wave his arms and make some big song and dance, because Naaman was an important man and he wanted much show to be made over him. But the reality was, he was blessed by the faithfulness of Elisha. Elisha didn't come out and he didn't ponder to all those things that were caused by Naaman's pride. You know, all that he did, he presented him with the gospel. And that was faithfulness, and because of that, that met his need. The Philippian jailer was blessed because Paul and Silas were faithful to God. They sang, they praised God in every aspect of life. They prayed unto the Lord in the prison cell. And that man heard them and saw something in their lives that he was able to flee and say, "I want what you have. I need to be saved." And therefore the question must come this morning: are the people among whom we live and work and minister, are they blessed because of our walk with God? Do they know that we are saved? Are they blessed because in our company there's godliness and there's truth? Do we have a testimony in this community that we belong to the Lord, that he is our Savior and he is our Lord? Look at verse 26. Underline these four words: "I will make them." I will make them, what? I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. God can make you a blessing today. God can make your life usable. God can make your life lead others to the Savior. I wonder, have you ever said, "Lord, make me a blessing"? Our time is through this morning, and I'm going to come back to this passage and continue in the will of the Lord speaking upon this verse. But before we leave this morning, can I ask you this question? Child of God, are you seeking Christ as your source of blessing? Don't seek to think along the lines of the world, if I have that house or that car or that money or those clothes, then I'd be happy. Because the Word of God tells us that if we have Christ, we'll be satisfied. Things of this world don't satisfy. The riches of this world do not satisfy. Yes, they bring pleasure for a little while. Rent you something more than riches can buy. Something more than wealth can bring. You have a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to Him daily for His blessing. And ask Him to make you a blessing. And if you're not saved this morning in this meeting, you need to look to Him. You need the blessing of salvation. You can be blessed with many things in this life, but if you're not blessed with salvation, then everything else falls away. Nothing to count for in eternity. And then into hell forever and forever. I trust and pray, Lord, make us people who seek the blessing of God.